What seemed like an eternity, at least for our show anyways, the Toronto Maple Leafs get a game day. We get a game day on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Welcome aboard. It's our Leaf Hour edition. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz with you the next 2 hours. We'll get a little Wendell Clark, Toronto Maple Leaf legend, in about 30 minutes. Top of the hour, we go national, Blake Wheeler, who's done a nice job on Hockey Night in Canada. He'll join us as well. And Jason Bukala, Pro Hockey Group and Sportsnet, of course, former NHL scout, will take us home.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, we are set for a Game 5 for the Toronto Maple Leafs. The last 20 years, Game 5s have not been kind to the Toronto Maple Leafs. 1-5 in Game 5s.
At home.
At home.
Game 5s at home.
Two of them overtime losses to Florida in 2023, the Montreal Canadiens in 2021. All right. Do we start with Sammy, or do we just go to you first?
No, Sammy.
What do you want to know?
Vibes.
So
energy.
I think, you know, a lot of people have asked me today how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
Like everybody.
Like a weird amount.
Everyone upstairs, everybody I run into, texts,
yeah.
You know, and I haven't been able to answer. Mm-hmm. I think I'm feeling it.
I actually, since our show started like 2 minutes ago, I got a little nervous.
I'm definitely uneasy. There's a uncertainty, clearly. But like, listen, boys, this is why we slug through November and December and do games on a Tuesday night in February against the Flyers. This is why you slug through it to get to game 5 of the second round, 2-2 against the defending Stanley Cup champions. This is what you do it for, boy.
We now go live to Herb Brooks.
Tonight's the night.
I get that. And it's something that you could say year after year about certain games in the playoffs. This one has a much bigger dynamic for me.
Okay.
Yeah. And outside of maybe the biggest game of the franchise's last 25 years, quarter of a century.
Whoa,
biggest game
really
in the last 25 years for me. And it's more than just winning or losing. It's the potential of what a loss means moving forward. Can they win 2 in a row? Do they win or lose the series? I'm starting to get into implications if they lose the series, what things look like after that. That's where I'm going with this.
Shocker.
With this game tonight.
Shocker, that's what you're going. Yeah. What if they lose? Yeah, what if they win?
Okay.
What if they win?
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great. But
what if they lose?
We are game 5, game 6, game 7 now on like fork in the road kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Not just for the series, but potentially what this could look like for the next 10 years out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's why I'm feeling it. Put it
it's
that way.
Massive. It's massive. But what you're talking about is Mitch Marner. And that's
fine.
I'm not saying
I'm going bigger than that.
Okay.
Bigger.
Like you think the people making decisions could be involved.
Brendan Shanahan.
If you lose in round 2 to the defending cup champions, you think that's considered bad failure?
Yeah.
What about game 7? What about if it's game 7 in overtime?
If you asked me 2 years ago when they lost to them in the second round, you had 2 years to get ready to play them and beat them.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get past them,
okay.
JB.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts that they have to get past Florida to continue the belief that this is trending in the right direction. If it doesn't, then it's time to completely look in the mirror.
And, you know, I have thoughts on what that domino could look like, you know, if all of a sudden things were different up top and who would want to not keep Marner and yada, yada. But I think the point is that you have massive implications for failure and massive implications with success here. Like,
okay, before we get into big picture stuff, where are you tonight? To me, it's a must win. I don't see them losing tonight and winning two in a row. So you tell me, is tonight a must win? Is it not a must win? Can you still see them losing tonight and winning the series?
Well,
I can.
I think game five of a second round Stanley Cup playoff game where it's tied 2-2, it's pretty close to a must win. Yeah, that you want to win the game, but you're not out of the series. You still have a chance to win. Clearly, they may not win two in a row, but they won two in a row to start the series. Like, listen,
Sammy,
it's a massive game. I understand
it's
that.
A yes or no question.
Yes. Okay.
They lose tonight. You're telling me they can still win the series?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have that.
Yeah.
But he could be right, and I can be wrong.
I'm with Sam on that, but I think it's safe to say that you don't want to find out.
Yeah, 100%. You'd rather not go down that path.
It is. There is a lot hanging in the balance.
A lot through the Shanahan era, a lot of disappointments through the Marner, Matthews, Tavares, Nylander era. Everybody waits for the big game for them to get over the hump. To me, this is the big one. This is the one that could maybe cancel the regrettable loss in game three.
You chalk that up at all to them losing their starting goalie? Would you be able to give them a pass at all? The Leafs go, Stolarz got knocked out. No.
No.
Okay.
No. I think Wall gave you a chance to win last game. I'm betting that he'll give him another great chance to win tonight.
Yep.
So I exclude the goaltending issues moving forward here.
All right.
Well, so I think there are two separate conversations, and the big picture stuff is definitely one. But, you know, I think, like, you represent a sort of part of the Leaf fandom where I think people are, you can never really just talk about the game. You always have to zoom out with the Marner conversations and what happens after this. And that's kind of been a thing with this whole era of hockey. Like,
and unity, chemistry, yeah. Great, like, skill.
Is it, you know, is this the last year, a last dance kind of thing? And it's felt like that for 4 years, right? Where it's been like, oh, if they lose here, the coach is gone. Marner's gone. Nylander's gone. The president's gone. Whatever's gone. But I think, to your point, for the first time, this might actually be the last dance. This might actually be the time.
I don't even think that was debatable.
But we debated Kipper after every time they lost.
I know.
And would be back.
And that's on ownership, whatever that meant when it was Bell and Rogers above. And that was their decision. I don't think that they could keep status quo if they find a way to lose this series. So, I mean, again, I don't, maybe way too early to even be talking about this. But just to bring it back, that's based on me, the results of as early as tonight.
You know, I
could dictate all of that.
A great hockey analyst I once knew once said to me about these sort of games, I got to see how it looks. That's you, by the way. I got to see how it looks. Do they go down like mice without a fight? Are these great games where they're banging and at the net and they're going to overtime? Yeah. I got to see how it looks.
But I'm past that.
Okay.
At this stage with this group and the decision makers and their roster and the key guys involved, you only have one last crack at seeing how it looks. Like, if they go down with a fight, let's all bring them back and try again next year. No, that's not happening. We know that. And by the way, we know that one major player is out there that, in all probability, if they lose, Mitch Marner will not come back. Mm. So that alone will give it a different look for sure, but there might have to be more decisions made beyond just what the Leafs will look like next year if Marner's not back.
Can we talk about, so we've talked about what would happen if they lose tonight.
Yeah.
What happens if they win tonight?
Love that. Yeah. Love that angle.
Yeah, I think, like, I'm not sure anybody's going to win two in a row here. So I think it gives them the best chance to win the series tonight and bring it back home for game seven. Mm-hmm. But if Wall can go down there again with a chance to close it out, there's also the possibility. But for me, it's almost a guaranteed seven. I don't see any team winning two in a row in this best of three.
Yeah. You know, it's the best period the Leafs have played, I think we said this season at one point, was game two, first period, where that was, they came out on the front foot. They came and they hit and they had the puck and they had the chances. They had the lead. And, you know, from then on, Florida, they basically battened down the hatches and Florida did their whole storm thing, didn't quite get back. But I don't think anything less than that effort. And now the other piece that, let me finish that. I don't think anything less than that effort is going to be good enough tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece of that is that Florida has a say, as we've said before, and this is a good hockey team. This team in these spots over the past two playoff runs has been, I don't want to say unbeatable, but as tight defensively, as hard to get through, as good as any team we've seen, which is why I think it's going to be low scoring. And I know we have some Maurice, but he's confident heading into tonight, right?
Like Maurice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we do clip number four there on his team heading into tonight?
Absolutely, we can.
Let's do that. Paul Maurice, clip four.
This is where we're supposed to be. This is the setup is exactly the Ranger game. Right, we were down in the series, came back, went into New York. It's that harnessing that excitement about it. Right, that's kind of how we're moving around each other today.
They've been here before, right? They're the experienced team who should feel like they know that we can win these games.
And this is what they did in, he's talking about the conference finals last year, where the Rangers win both the games, the first two games, then they tie it, and then it's the same situation where they won four in a row.
And just you got a Craig Berube that is a comparable, or do we just have that discussion on what he would be telling his group?
On his team's mindset?
Sure, let's do that.
It's very simple. Team two, clip two, please.
Good, just normal throughout the playoffs. Business-like, ready to go. Looking forward to the challenge tonight. Excited to play. Thought our practice was really good yesterday. Guys are in a great frame of mind, and we understand what type of game it's going to be, and got to go out and execute.
How awesome.
God, I hope he's more motivating than that for the guys inside the room.
Yeah. But I like that it's like... You know, it's not panic or we never at their best.
It's
you know,
not.
It's like
it's not.
There's a time where you can ramp it up a little bit and all that. But.
Yeah, and I hope it kind of revolves around boys like every punch in the mouth that we've had the last 8 years was built so we could win tonight's game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, every heartache, every miserable milk carton picture you saw of yourself or your teammate over the years. Was to get to this point to get us over the hump. This is ours tonight, mm-hmm. okay? It's not theirs. As Herb Brooks said, they had their chance. They had their opportunities. It's our turn now. And that's the buildup. The buildup is that they've gone through a lot here to get to this point once again, and it's not going to be a lost opportunity.
They have suffered the slings and arrows. These guys have been through it. And, yeah, you hope it's like, okay, you know, you got a fresh chance against a good team on home ice. This is an opportunity.
Can I ask you about what you just said there, though, Kip? Like, he's been so hesitant to even mention years past where, like, I wasn't here. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. Like, do you think he's actually going to bring that up before game five? Like, hey, remember all the times that you guys have choked in these losers, choked in this exact spot? Don't choke this time, chokers.
As you're standing.
He's like, oh!
I think there's ways of
harnessing that energy.
It's the obvious. It's stating the obvious, Sammy. And I don't even think he needed to be here.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm just saying.
You inherit it, to be honest with you. But it's not about focusing on the past failures. It's what did you learn to get to this point? That's all you need to. And I'm sure either Berube's done it, maybe Brendan Shanahan's done it, somebody, a psychologist that they work with. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there has to be a feeling of we went through it because we were supposed to go through it the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. And now's our moment.
Yeah.
Those were life lessons. There were hockey lessons, sports lessons, call it whatever you want, but it's to get to this point so we can get over and move forward here. And that's the belief that they have to have going into these last two games.
How much though, do you think it's on the coach? Like, how much does a coach need to say? So you won the Calder Cup as well, right?
I did,
yeah. Calder Cup in junior. You guys had some success, I presume.
Lost game 7 in a final.
Oh, sorry to bring that up.
Whoopsies.
To the Oshawa Generals.
The Jennies, gotcha.
But you've been through these moments. Yeah. You've been at the practice. You've been at the rink. I had won titles at different levels. You know. You can feel it. It's different at the rink. At the day at Maury Skate, there's a different energy. You know, it's not really a spot you need the coach or the. I understand that he's going to want to come in and give you a couple of words or whatever, but this, I don't feel like it needs a rah rah spot.
It's such an individual thing. It's nice though if you have someone, either a leader in the room or a coach or something. I'm telling you, it works. It depends on how it's presented, the choice words. It can work, JB, no matter how long you've been around or how experienced that you are. It is really nice and comforting to lean up to somebody and say, you know what, I believe you.
I believe you.
Yeah. Yeah, okay? Yeah. Even if I had a seed of doubt, you're making me feel better. You are capturing this moment better than what's going on in my head. Mm-hmm. And instead of overthinking, I'll just listen to you. I'll just follow you. I'll just listen to you. And it's true leadership.
Yeah.
And it can come from management. Mm-hmm. It can come from a few players in the room. It can come up unexpectedly. I don't know. Does Benoit come up and motivate guys today and say, hey, listen, you know what? The next one against Sam Reinhardt. Boys, he ain't getting up. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh man, that guy's ready to play.
A lot of it.
I better be ready to play too.
I do believe with this team is a lot of what you're saying is I believe you. I trust you. That vibe that I believe that the success we've built here over this season is real. And I think that they do. And I think a lot of that is Craig Berube and the tone and the, you know, they just can trust that they're good.
It's got to be real, though. It can't be like phony. It can't be by someone that you don't necessarily trust.
You don't need Bobby McMahon to give an Al Pacino speech pregame.
I think a game like tonight.
Man, popping one in tonight there, man.
Hey, Bobby, shoot it in.
I think a game like tonight can show us how close they are together. And I think at times in the past 8 tries that they've been in the playoffs, they haven't presented as a close-knit team that at times they told us they were. Mm. Because that is the proof in the pudding. It's not what you say in the room, oh, we're really close, we're tight, we go to movies together, we go out for dinners on the road. No. This on the ice is where you show how close you are together, because there are still times when Domi goes and hit Barkov, you see 4 or 5 guys like a pack of wolves, mm-hmm. right? Like Florida shows all the time how close they are. Okay. And not a lot of team, Tampa, we've seen Tampa at times. They're Stanley Cup champions though, boys. And I'm not saying the Leafs have to go all 5 of them and go, in a scrum constantly, but you can tell teams that are close. And tonight they have an opportunity to show everybody how close of a team they are.
Yeah. You know, the other side of that, not to pour any water on it, but just like, you know, the Vancouver Canucks, when they're winning a lot of games and they're bad, they don't gel in the room, but you win, everyone gets along. You win some games, you score a couple of goals, it's a lot easier for everyone to get along. This Panthers team is still 22-0 when they're leading after the first and 15-0 when they're leading after the second, or flip that, whichever. You know, like, my point is the start matters. Everyone's energy, belief in each other, all that. They need a good first period, ideally the first goal, and then I'm going to feel really good about things. But until they have that, boy.
And to your point about the sticking out, like, they were way better this year than they've ever been. In terms of sticking up each other and being in scrums, like there's no comparison.
I can't wait to talk to Wendell about that, because he would know that better than anybody.
Yeah. And they've really they've showed much more willingness to get into scrums and stick up for each other. But listen, it's hard to compare anybody to Florida, because what they have is unique. What they've built and what they're able to do with, like, they're a greasy bunch of rats that love fighting for each other and will do whatever it takes and at least need to get there. So
it's tough to play what everyone universally believes to be the best playoff built team in Florida. They're
correct.
Built for this.
But what excites you about that?
The Leafs can hang.
The Leafs have been able to hang. They've been in all the games except game four where it was a one goal game, but it never really felt like it was a one goal game for long stretches. What makes you excited about being a Leaf fan? What makes you excited about this? If you could ever find a way to get through this team, if you could ever find a way to win two of the next three games, you really start dreaming.
Well, because whoever you play next, you're like, we know we can play tougher
team
than this.
Carolina's a great team, and they're up 3-1, right? Like, listen, the Western Conference, if you ever got to the final, that's a different story. Both those teams, any of the teams that come out of there, that'll be excellent.
You don't know what it's going to look like from now.
That's
who's
what I mean.
In, who's
that's
out,
true.
Who's hurt,
by
who's
then, those
not.
Teams
I get
could
it.
Brandon twists his knee, and Dallas is...
To your point,
right?
To your point about Florida and sticking up for themselves, and look, like, the Leafs can just find a little bit of that in these next few games and get by them, man.
Correct.
Then there will be some real conversation.
Which, Sam, this is the answer to the question that you started this off with. What happens if they win? It's that they're suddenly the team that took down the Stanley Cup champions that feels like they can handle any amount of physicality that a team wants to bring, that has proven they can go through the muck and come out the other side. All of a sudden you're going, yeah, all of a sudden you believe.
Fork in the road tonight, boys.
So the swing for tonight,
fork in the road,
or the next couple games anyway.
Fork in the road. Can they win a game seven on home ice against Florida Panthers? Oh boy!
Lineup decisions. We talked about those the last few days. I want to go to Craig Berube before we discuss.
This is the first one is so funny.
All right.
Okay, clip one on lineup changes.
Game time decisions. We got decisions. So it was an optional skate this morning, and we got some decisions to make.
Wait. Camp off the ice this morning?
Yep, just an optional skate. Game time decisions. So they either go out, they don't go out, and we'll make decisions at game time.
Okay, now let's spin it right to Paul Maurice, who's also talking about making changes to his lineup. Nope. Clip one.
I have both fists going in, yeah. Good point.
The advantage to having him come in is he can play all three forward positions, which
Bokvist
gives us some options on either Nosek returning to the left wing with Barkov and Reinhart like we did the last 15 minutes of the third. I can move him over to the right as well. So there's lots of versatility there for us. He's got some experience. And when we bring guys in from the outside, they've had big impacts for us. They've been critical. I think a part of that is they're never really on the outside, right? They're all part of the chirping and the practicing and all the things that go on. They feel like they're a part of it. So everybody's pretty excited for him.
Big, big, big change of philosophy in terms of deep roster or making changes and feeling that energy. Paul Maurice is coming off a huge win and he's changing his lineup.
Well, I mean,
Rodriguez is out.
Yeah, Rodriguez is out. So Bokvist is gone.
Do we think Rodriguez is just out? Because they want him out? Like, he hasn't...
Oh, I didn't know...
Yeah, he's not playing.
He's not... Oh, so some damage was done then.
Yeah.
Well, yes or no. You know, I think...
He was at morning skate today. They had a long conversation. They were seen talking on the ice, so...
9 games played, no goals, 3 assists, -2 for Rodriguez.
He feels like one of their guys. He plays up and down the lineup. Like, I don't know. I would be surprised if he was a healthy scratch.
I also would be surprised if he was a healthy scratch. In fact, he almost...
Listen, some of these guys are at 60 or 70% and they're playing.
But maybe Rodriguez
I think 2-2 it's a reset for him. He'll go right back to him in game 6.
Of course he will.
Right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bokvist is a guy that when he's in, they used him 403, I think, the last game he played.
Yeah.
And I noticed him once. He was fast and they're like, "Nah, we don't need him." So what do we think?
Leafs on changes.
Yeah.
How much would you push right now if you're part of that coaching staff, JB?
Yeah, I got Yarn Kroc. I push really hard. Yarn Kroc out, Kampf in. Kampf can take his spot on the PK, which is pretty much all Yarn Kroc's value at this point. Longer, defends. I don't think that's a tough decision. You're not giving up any offense. You know, Yarn Kroc no longer shoots it in the net.
I think
I'm sold on that.
Okay.
I think Kampf has 3 or 4 more playoff goals than Yarncroft.
Is that right? Yeah.
So
like he's at least he might whack one in or something. Robertson,
that's a lie.
I don't think Robertson comes in. I think Coach Berube likes the big boys
you're,
in a big series.
You're like praying a Bobby McMahon who looks like a 20, 25 goal scorer shows up tonight.
Yeah, hopefully a couple days rest, right? Like a little more pop at the legs. I also wouldn't hate seeing him get a little more opportunity. Like, could he not play beside Tavares and Nylander tonight? And Pacioretty can kind of patches. Is not.
I wouldn't hesitate on a lot of different looks.
Yeah, you wouldn't mind,
you know,
seeing a little shuffle.
I'd even like to see Mitch Marner play with a Steve Lorenz on a few shifts. You know.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yes. Okay, I'm on board with that. Get those guys away from
just
some
double
matchups
shift and, go out there and just move them around and have different looks.
It's funny that Berube just likes what they do, and he doesn't seem to want to play with it too much.
Those are called adjustments. Those are, I guess, you can watch how it looks in the first 10 minutes, 12 minutes, a period. But if it's not looking great, you got to free up some of these guys. Much has been made out of Marner and Matthews not getting any shots on goal, and I get it, you know, but. I mean, Mitch Marner plays the point on the power play. What are the odds of him getting a shot on goal out there?
I don't know. I'm not going to excuse away Mitch
Marner. No, Marner's, I'm not, but I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
It is tight out there.
Yeah, they're good
and
penalty
kill. He doesn't have a booming shot, so like,
right, like
you got to give him other opportunities to mix and match and free these guys up.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. You can get your guys away from, you know, good D. I would take that advantage every time. We have Berube on both what you're looking for from the bottom six and Robertson. Any recommendation there?
I mean, Chris Johnson asked Berube today, basically, like, would you want to test the scratch and score theory here, basically? Like, would you like to put him in? So he answered the question here.
On Nick Robertson.
On Nick Robertson, clip seven.
Yeah, I don't know. It does, I guess. You know, you think about it and you go, well, he was out for a couple games and he came in and scored in one or two. He's pretty good at that, but it does, but it doesn't. It just, you know, it depends on what we need and what we think is going to help the team.
Is there any chance he thinks speed is something they need? Like Robertson can get up and go. Does it?
I think he plays.
You do?
I do. I don't know. Maybe
I wouldn't hate it.
It's a hunch of a coach's hunch.
I wouldn't hate it.
I think he might be plays tonight.
So then, would you have Holmberg or who comes out?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know if I want to.
Gets hard when you start to do that.
Yeah. Holmberg still can.
He's been playing less every game.
He can still get in on a forecheck. He can still protect a puck pretty well down low.
He draws penalties.
It'd be a gutsy call to put Nick Robertson in, and I'm not saying that I would really hate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't want him to take a penalty.
Oh my god, yeah. If he's right? he can't do anything. If he ices it, takes a penalty, anything, we're gonna light him up. Like it would have to be a.
But hey, I mean Berube's getting paid millions to make these tough decisions.
You know what I've learned, and I love getting the chance to say this. So my dad coached after his playing days in Utah and the IHL, and I used to go down and spend time in the coaches' rooms. And then I was on staff there with Sheldon and whatever, and in those coaches' rooms making these decisions. And what it comes down to, all the analytics you see, everything, is some guys looking at each other going, what do you think? That's all it is. You know, they don't have the secret sauce. They're not looking through this like NASA chart going beep, boop, boop. Oh, and he's in. Here's what we'll do. They're going, I don't know. Do you think you?
I told you that.
What's your hunch?
There's like four or five guys with a voice in the room. And it's like, what do you think?
I told you that story about Keenan, Coley Campbell, and Dick Todd, coach and two assistant coaches. And it was like, who do you think should start? And they were actually so scared to go first and say it that he made them write it down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Write down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Slide it over.
Yeah. And then you know what happened? They all picked Mike Richter, and then Keenan started Glenn Healy.
Wow.
That's a real Keenan move.
That's how crazy Keenan was.
Yeah. You know, I was the video coach, so I had my voice was worth half a voice. And so I had to be real sure before I'd be like, I'd start. You know, like you really had to have a backup for your opinion. Terrifying.
You wouldn't start off with, You're a complete moron if you do this.
Yeah, yeah. No, I wouldn't lead with any of that.
Berube got asked about a potential Stolarz decision today.
Oh, cool.
So clip five.
Yeah, no, it'll be tough. I mean, I'm not really thinking about that yet. You know, that's not there yet. So we'll see how everything goes and where he's at and when he gets there and where we're at as a team and our goalies. You know, like, it's not something I'm really thinking about right now.
Yeah, in other words, if we lose, Stolarz is playing game six. If we win, I don't have to answer that question again for another night.
It's like, yeah, this is actually not a challenging question.
So you think do you have any knowledge or anything that he could play?
Stolarz?
Yeah.
I would think if Wall finds a way to lose he mishandles the puck behind the net.
Buddy, if they lose 1-0 and Stolarz is ready, they might be like, we just have to go back. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm with JB on that one that it would be, Stoli, we need you.
Wow.
Yeah.
No.
Wall's got to win tonight. Win and you're in. How's that?
Pretty good.
Okay. Anything else? Barkov, Matthews not scoring. What do you want?
Yeah, actually, let's do Maurice, the clip three on Matthews not scoring.
Before the series started, Paul, if someone were to tell you that he'd be going into game five and Austin Matthews wouldn't have a goal, what would you say?
What's the series at? Yona Gadjevich scored that goal. We didn't take it from him and give him to Barkov. Nobody cares.
Great question, Luke.
It's a great
and his snappy retort.
Way better answer.
Walked right into that one.
Yeah,
eh?
We do not care. We're trying to win hockey games.
Nobody cares.
That to my point yesterday, where we talked about Matthews, whatever. Like, if they win the next two games and Matthews has no points,
43 shot blocks.
I do not care. It doesn't.
And then it's just like a reset going into a conference final, right?
Against the Canes.
It's no different than a average or below average regular season.
Yeah,
it's like game one in the playoffs. Yeah. Everybody starts fresh.
Yeah.
That's what a conference final would do to Austin Matthews.
And funny enough, like him and Marner, because they had a couple of big early games in that Ottawa series, like their points per game are fine. Yeah. So they'd get through it feeling like their points are okay. And then,
and again,
Carolina light it up.
Connor McDavid, last time I checked, what, 3 goals?
Yeah.
In what, 10, 11 games?
Chuck's also at 0.
There's a lot of really good hockey players. It's tough out there, man. It is. There's no room.
Yeah, you're not playing Anaheim.
And that's why he's paid the most in the league, to get through the tough parts.
All right. True.
All right, let's break and we'll get to Wendell.
Okay. As we said, Toronto Maple Leaf legend Wendell Clark will help us tee up Game 5 tonight. Toronto Maple Leafs and the Florida Panthers. It's a real Kipper and Bourne show. Don't go away.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Hour Edition. Toronto Maple Leafs and the Panthers, critical Game 5 at Scotiabank Arena, 7:00, Sportsnet, CBC. In a few minutes, we'll grab Wendell. Okay, not in a few moments, right now.
Immediately.
The legend himself, Toronto Maple Leaf, Wendell Clark. Hey, Clarky, how are you, pal?
Hey, Kipper, how you guys doing?
We're good, pal. I take it you're on your way to the rink here. You know, I've known you as a teammate, one of a few seasons, 12 in all for you in the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't know, maybe 80 games in the playoffs, Clarky. Is there a chance, you know, you're still a little nervous about a game all these years later?
Now it's a good nervous. This is fun stuff. But it's, you know, the fans may be more nervous, but this is we're in the middle of a series. The Stanley Cup champions aren't going to roll over. They know how to play. So we're in a series, and we're tied 2-2. I think things are great.
I imagine you talk to a lot of people and they say, you know, Wendell, how you feeling about things? How do you handicap the next couple of games? What do you expect we'll see? What do you think has to happen here for the Leafs?
Well, we just have to believe in each other. This is, you know, the teams that have gone long in the playoffs for a lot of years, which is Florida has, you know, they know how to play and be patient, and there's going to be ups and downs in a series, and this is our learning curve in the second round, learning to be patient, trust the system that the coach has in you, trust each other, and trust that you know everything will work out, whether it's a 1-0 game or a 6-5 game. This is where our team has to believe in themselves that they can do it. There's no reason they can't do it, but you have to keep that trust. You can't step outside the box and try home run stuff, because then it'll blow up. You just have to have that confidence in your group that just stay the course and things will work.
Clarkie, all season long, you know, the narrative around this team is it feels different. It looks different. Can you compare the makeup of this roster compared to the years past that you've seen and the hiccups that they've gone through and why they seem a little bit more prepared to get over the hump of a big game like tonight?
Well, I think they played the whole season like they didn't have to change the system for the playoffs. They played the whole year the way they're playing right now. I think we were as confident to win a 1-0 or 2-1 hockey game in the regular season as we are now. And you know, you have the horses. If they get some goals and the puck's bouncing the right way, we can do it that way. But I think we have a confidence to play in a game that's 1-0, and we don't care who scores that goal in our lineup. And that's where you have to be in the playoffs is it might be the fourth line guys, the biggest goal winner in the game. You just don't know how it works out in the playoffs. If the other team checks the way they're supposed to check, then your big guys aren't going to get points. And that's just the way it is. You just have to rely on, as a team, it's a team game to win. And you have to rely that by the end of the 60 minutes or overtime, your team's going to be better than the other one.
When does the physicality change throughout a series? Like, as you get into game 5, 6, and 7 here, is all sort of the tone setting and glass rattling done? Or how much, I guess, how does the physicality change as you get deeper into a series?
Well, I think the first round has its own physicality. That's always in all playoff rounds. That first round is so physical. But then every round gets more team-oriented, more in position, it's not always about the running around, but you still have to have physical play, you still have to have finish your checks, you still have to keep the other team honest, but you're not going out of the way, because in a nothing game, you don't need the 4 minutes for charging in today's game kind of thing, which might happen, you know, if it's that out of it. So I always find the farther you went in playoffs, everything become more and more organized on both sides. Everybody was just doing the right job, the right thing, which at the end of the day, in most instances, the game gets more boring because everybody is doing. So if there's no mistakes, as a fan, it's actually boring because there's no two-on-ones, there's no breakaways, there's no outnumbered chances because everybody's playing good on both sides, and that's sometimes not as exciting, but you have to be that patient to wait for a breakdown. And the team that can be the most patient, wait for the right breakdowns, and then capitalize on whatever chances because there may be a lot of shots, but they're from the outside. They're low-risk shots. We're giving guys chances in low-risk areas, and that's okay. Just not in the slot with one-timers. You don't want to be giving up that stuff.
You are listening to former captain, Toronto Maple Leaf legend, Wendell Clark. So, Clark, if we go back to 1993 and one of the more memorable Stanley Cup moments in recent Leaf history is you, my friend, and Marty McSorley. And can you take us back to a little bit of the buildup and how and why that fight happened? And could you see any scenario at all between the Leafs and Florida tonight where that could be called upon if someone felt it was needed?
Well, no, the whole scenario, if it was needed, but depending on the player that did it and to whom he did it to, and you'd have to wonder whether the guy is going to respond. And the game's changed a lot, so if somebody finishes their check today, a lot of times they don't own up to what they did. So Marty, always being a player that's going to own up, he knew they were going to lose that game, so he went out of the way to do something to wake his team up and let us know that he's, you know, they're ready to play. And basically we couldn't allow him to do that to our best player. You know, Dougie's the guy that stirs our drink. He was the best player in the league that at that time, what he did that year for our team. So he, you know, so that I pretty much knew Marty was going to stick up for himself if I was coming. And so that's, you know, that's the excitement. And Marty and I had had, he was my first two fights ever in the NHL in the exhibition season. He was, I think he forgot I got drafted first overall, that I wasn't trying out for the Big Daddy spot on defense. so he didn't like me from the get-go. So that's what running around gets you. But that's it. It was all in fun. And then that just raised the temperature of the series and everything that was going on. That was an exciting series. We just didn't have to end up on the right side of it.
I think there's a few Toronto Maple Leaf fans old enough to have watched Kulikov take a healthy run at Marner with his elbow to the head and wonder what a Wendell Clark as a line mate would have done to Kulikov at that moment.
Well, you never know. Every situation is different. Situational. I got to walk the fence here. Every situation is different. But no, I like the way the guys are have played and how they're playing. And like you say, you've earned the right to have the home games now for the series, best of three, by finishing first. So now we have to look after ourselves and either do it the easier way and win tonight, or do it the harder way and fight right till the end. But you have a great team in Florida that, you know, they've been to the Cup, so they understand the situations they're in. But I really do think we are a good enough team to learn and battle and win.
So when you're watching this team, like, something that stands out for when you played, like, you're a physical player, but you were a player, right? You're on the ice, you're in the big moments and contributing offensively. I look around the league, Tom Wilson is someone who does that. Matthew Nyes is maybe the closest thing the Leafs have to that, a guy who can be physically dominant and go toe-to-toe with someone but still score goals. Where do you think he is in his evolution, particularly as a playoff performer for the Leafs?
I think Matthew is scratching the surface of how good he can be in the playoffs. I really think he's, I think Craig as a coach has been wonderful for him to get basically the Western Canadian, North American style chirping in his ear on the bench. And because he has such a makeup of playing north and south and finishing your checks, and then he's got a great set of hands that he can score. So I think as he understands for himself, if he figures it out, teach him how to teach him how to have no friends for 18 minutes every second night. And that's no friends for 18 minutes. After that, you can be the nicest guy in the world, but for 18 minutes, no friends.
Kip just wrote down no friends as like a note he was trying to remember.
Yeah. But it's because he's really, and I really think it's the coaching that's changed. And because you grew up in Arizona, everything's kind of their style of hockey and everything. Matthews being your idol probably growing up, so that's the style. But in his makeup, he is a power forward that can really, like, just with size and makeup and. And then he gets to feed off the talent, and the talent gets to feed off him. Like, they get more room the way when he's playing really well.
Mm-hmm. Great feeling this time of year. Clarkie, must bring back great memories for you, playoff hockey.
No, this is, as you guys know, the only hockey you miss is this time of year. I don't miss training camp. You don't miss the grind in the middle of the season. But this time of year for all us old guys, this is the fun stuff for the players. This is, and it's all the butterflies and nerves that you get as a player. That's the fun part. That's why you play the game, and to be in situations with fans at home that love you and then fans on the road that hate you. And it's so fun as a player to be in these loved buildings and hated buildings.
And you don't take a stick to the head, an elbow to the chops.
No injuries.
And have a lamb chop for me in the alumni room.
Hey, hopefully, guys. I always go for the chicken fingers. Hey, they're
keep her simple.
The building or the alumni box. Don't change my diet.
No. You're just
don't be Gary Roberts. All right, Kip.
Just a simple farmer.
That's it.
All right, Clarkie. Have a great time tonight. Really appreciate you coming on our show.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you.
Toronto Maple Leaf great Wendell.
That was fantastic.
First two fights of his career were Marty McSorley.
So,
no thanks.
I every time it gets brought up, and I think we've had him on before and talked about it, but I go back and watch the fight.
Yeah.
I don't know. Marty McSorley's jaw needs to be studied by science, how he survived those first three rights. The first three rights from Wendell Clark in that fight.
That was Clarkie's signature, right? Get in early.
And like he landed three on the button. And McSorley, to his credit, stood right in there, kept chucking. But what a moment. That's if you asked a certain vintage of Leaf fans their favorite moment, that's top five, no matter
that
what.
In the 360.
Yeah, the wraparound.
Gilmore.
Yep.
The wraparound.
Absolutely.
Those two moments carried a lifetime for young Leaf fans.
Can we give the next generation their moment?
Mitch Marner spinning around twice behind the net and wrapping it in?
Something.
Can you give them
could be a nice breakaway.
Moment.
It could be a Marner or, as Wendell said, a fourth liner, right?
Scotty Lawton, come on down. The people would love to love Lawton.
18 minutes, no friends every other night. Tattoo that on my face.
My God, was that not how I played hockey? I made bar plans and scrums.
What do you like to drink? Gin and tonic? I got you.
Yeah, I'll see you out there after.
You should write a book, How Not To.
Oh, yeah. You don't need me to write it. Ask my coaches.
Fantastic.
A couple of Kippers Clippers you want to get to, or are you good?
Let's talk matchups. You got Tavares and the hard matchup.
No. I was just going to tee it up. They asked him kind of about, because he got matched up a lot against the Lust Arena line or the Lundell or the Mart, whatever you want to say it. And Berube kind of addressed that today, and we could listen to that clip. Clip eight, please.
I could get him out there against different people. That Lundell line has played well, not only defensively, but they're producing too for the team. So it's a very good line, and it's a tough line. It's a good line with Marchand on it. Makes it better, obviously, with his competitiveness and his game. So we'll see.
The other one I wouldn't mind hearing from him is on breaking the puck out, which is something that I have written about. They got to do some work on.
Yeah, so it's a good clip.
From our breakouts and coming out of D-zone coverage. Well, I thought they were pretty good last game, to be honest with you. We look at all those stats and, the video, obviously, and it's not clean all the time. So you got to understand, it's not going to be clean. The game will not be clean the way they pressure, and you got to be comfortable with things off the glass, chip outs, and we got to have people skating getting through there to get onto those pucks. So it's not always going to be clean, but I think our D are doing a good job of that. I thought our wall play was pretty good last game. So there was a lot of good things that way. We got to find a way to get through that swarm in their zone, especially off our forecheck. That'll be key tonight.
Yeah.
They did feel it between Stolarz and Joseph Woll handling the puck.
Huge difference.
Telling you that if he can stay a little quiet, Joseph Woll tonight, even minimal, at least the guys need to know that they're going back and it's not a great puck handler in the crease tonight.
I'm
that's
not
all.
Sure Chris Tanev agrees with the goalie not going out as much.
To me, it's more Stolarz is really good at it. Woll's fine.
Well, if he has a cleaner look tonight, it'll go a long way to a cleaner look getting out of your own zone. All right, boys.
What's going to happen? Score. Kipper.
Let's go 3-2 Leafs in overtime.
I got 3-1 Leafs.
4-3 Leafs OT.
All right. So we're good. We're good. 2 days off really should have benefited the Leafs the most. A ton of momentum was lost with the extra day for Florida. So I'm looking for a better start.
18 minutes, no friends every other night, boys.
What a life.
There we go.
What a way to live.
All right. 7 o'clock tonight. No need to ever change your dial on Sportsnet. All right, we go national next on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.